Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, The Two Beasts and 666. Today's message is based on Revelation chapter 13. So let us open with prayer. Jesus Christ has come into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Since we have a great high priest who has gone into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. Let us praise his holy name. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanks, honor, power, and strength be to our God forevermore. Alleluia and amen. So now turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. Then I stood on the sands of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth would worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. And he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted to give power to as many as would not worship, to give power to the breath of the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate that the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So today we have one of those multiple Sundays as far as topics go. First, this is Mother's Day. We celebrate our mothers and the many wondrous things mothers have done and will do for us, for we certainly would be incomplete without our mother's influence and love. Second, Thursday is the day of ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ as he rose from earth to reside with the Father. And plus, we must continue with the study of the book of Revelation. Now, as we go to chapter 13, we have a whole bunch of marvelous signs from this book, which we will attempt to explain very briefly. And we begin with, Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, with seven heads, ten horns. On his horns were ten crowns, and on his heads was a blasphemous name. When we were in chapter 12, the visions of John were mainly of heaven. Now his visions shift to earth, and in part of the vision, he stands on the sand of the sea, or what we would call the shore. Now many of us adore the seashore as a place of comfort, rest, and beauty. But as a whole, the Jewish people in biblical times regarded the sea as a wild, untamed, frightening place. While ancient Israel under Solomon had a navy, Hiram, the king of Tyre, supplied the sailors from 1 Kings 9. Because ancient Israel was wary of the sea, it was a figure of evil and chaos that seemed to resist God, though the resistance was unsuccessful. For example, from Psalm 74, "For God is my king from of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters." Now, from the place identified with evil and chaos and resisting God, a beast comes forth. The ancient Greek word here translated beast has the idea of a wild, dangerous animal. Because John calls him a beast and not a dragon, as in Revelation 12, this creature represents someone distinct from Satan, who is represented by the dragon. And though this beast is distinct from the dragon of Revelation 12, he is still closely identified with him. He is not the dragon, but he is like him, because the dragon also has 7 heads and 10 horns. And this likeness to Satan is just one of the things that identifies this beast with one popularly known as the Antichrist. First, we must begin to understand what the title Antichrist means. The prefix anti may mean the opposite of or instead of. The Antichrist is the opposite of Jesus, or is he the instead of Jesus? Most people have focused on the idea of the opposite Jesus. This has made them think that the Antichrist will appear as a supremely evil person, that as much as Jesus went around looking good, this one will go around looking bad. As much as Jesus' character and personality was beautiful and attractive, the Antichrist's character and personality will be ugly and repulsive. As much as Jesus spoke only truth, the Antichrist will speak only lies. This emphasizes the idea of the opposite Jesus too much. The Antichrist will instead be more of an instead of Jesus. He will look wonderful, be charming and successful. He will be the ultimate winner. He will appear as an angel of light. In this sense, the Antichrist will be a satanic Messiah instead of the true Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, there is something different about this beast compared to the dragon of Revelation 12, who had the 7 diadems on his head. The 7 crowns of the dragon express his strength and power, because 7 is a number associated with strength and completeness. The 10 crowns of the beast possibly express his rule over a group of 10 nations. Now, the figure of 10 horns also associates this beast with Daniel 7, which represented the final world empire of the Antichrist, which the Messiah will ultimately conquer. And if we go to Daniel 7, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, since the beasts of Daniel 7 represented empires more than specific people, some have thought that the beast of Revelation 13 is not a person, but a government or cultural system. Many believe the beast is a broad picture of a totalitarian government, especially the totalitarian states of the 20th and 21st century. Others see the beast as a person, specifically the Antichrist, the final satanic dictator who leads the world in rebellion against God. Some combine the approaches and say that the beast is a modern world totalitarian government, but the one head that has 10 horns is specifically the Antichrist, the leader of this beast of a final satanic dictatorship. But with any empire, especially brief empires, the government is almost always totally identified with the ruler. When we think of Germany of the 1930s and 40s, the figure of Adolf Hitler is, as an individual and as Nazi Germany, are virtually the same. All the indications in Revelation 13 are that the beast is a man, though he is closely identified with this world-dominating government. This world leader is really empowered and supported by Satan. And through this man, Satan will express his own desire and authority. In this, the beast takes the offer that Jesus refused in Matthew 4 in the temptations of Satan in the wilderness. And then going to verse 3, And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. This is a head wound, a mortal wound, not a superficial injury. And his deadly wound was healed. The recovery of the beast increases his fame and authority. And this recovery is mentioned again in connection to the world's worship and devotion to the beast later in Revelation 13, 12, and 13, 14. Yet the most natural way to understand John's words in Revelation 13 make us believe he speaks of a man who will be mortally wounded and then healed. The man will lead like a revived Roman Empire. His personality will dominate it, yet he and the empire are not exactly the same. This is truly an Antichrist, who even imitates Jesus in his death and resurrection. The world will believe this, and it will add tremendously to his fame and power. Continuing in verse 4, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him. Now, as the people worship this beast and bow down before his government, it may be that they do not know they are bowing down to Satan himself, as many are already doing. But it is worship of Satan nonetheless. They clearly worship both the beast and the dragon, but their worship of the dragon may be unknowing. Though Satan worship becomes more and more popular each year, it is still only a tiny fraction of people who openly worship Satan. This is because more people expect Satan to appear with ugliness and horror. But this is wrong, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. That's from Paul in 2 Corinthians 11. The world will be amazed at the power of the beast and will believe he is mighty, that he cannot be conquered. For a time, the beast will look like a tremendous winner. When he blasphemes Jesus and persecutes God's people, they will appear to be complete losers for a time. They worship the beast and the dragon behind the beast simply because of the beast's might. Going to verses 5 and 6, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his holy name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Now, blasphemer may be a more accurate title than Antichrist at this time in the times in dictator. This beast is a man who speaks against God and everything God stands for, his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. The beast continues without restraint by God for a period of 42 months, the old familiar 3.5 years. The duration of the period shows that the beast has full reign for the first half of the final 7 years, and that during the whole time he is still under God's authority. Why does the beast blaspheme those who dwell in heaven? To me, this means he speaks against those who were taken in the rapture and are therefore out of his reach. And in verse 7, it was granted him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and all authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. This does not mean that the beast can overcome the faith of the saints, but that he can destroy their physical lives and by all appearances defeat the cause of God's people on earth. Who are these saints who were overcome by the beast? Various views of the timing of the rapture will determine who these persecuted ones are. Those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture believe that these saints are God's people who come to Christ after the church has been raptured. And those who believe in a post-tribulation rapture believe these saints are God's people who are on the earth before the final rapture, including what we think of today as the church. And in verses 8 through 10, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This leads us to Caesar worship that the early church faced. The Christian could not say Caesar is Lord, but were compelled to say only Jesus is Lord. And after the great and terrible totalitarian rulers of the 20th century, Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Mao, it isn't hard to imagine a dominating world leader demanding such a declaration of allegiance tantamount to worship. And then we have this book of life. Remember, this goes back to the book of Esther and how the Babylonian leaders kept various books of those who did well for the king and those who offended the king. Now, the book of life contains the names of all of God's redeemed, as we will see in Revelation 20. The idea is that worshiping the beast and having your name in the book in the life are mutually exclusive. You can't do both. This includes a solemn word of warning meant to capture the attention of all who hear. The only way of victory is steadfast faith and endurance in Christ. And going to verses 11 and 12, we get the second beast. I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This creature represents someone like the beast rising from the sea, because the same word beast is used to describe them both. At the same time, this beast is different. They are different in origin because one comes from the sea, the other from the earth. They are different in rank because the second is subordinate to the first. They are different in appearance because the second has a mild lamb-like appearance. But despite his lamb-like appearance, the message of the second beast is the same as the message of the first. The second beast is called the false prophet from Revelation 16, 19, and 20, someone distinct from the first beast, the Antichrist, and the dragon, Satan. With the dragon, the beast rising from the sea, and the beast rising from the land, we have an unholy trinity. The dragon is the anti-father, the beast rising from the sea is the Antichrist, and the beast rising from the land is the anti-Holy Spirit. The beast rising from the earth is essentially a satanic prophet, a false teacher, who leads the world to worship the beast and the dragon. It may seem fantastic to some that the world will be led into a worship of a man and of the devil, but by nature, men have an undeniable religious impulse. They also have an undeniable rebellion against God. What men want most is not the elimination of religion, but they want their own religion. They say they want the kingdom, but they don't want God in it. And as we continue, he performs great signs, he makes fire come from heaven, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by signs he was granted to do. The beast rising from the sea has the signs and wonders to back up his false teaching. A specific miracle of the false prophet is described, that he makes fire come from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. It is important that John highlights this miracle. In the eyes of the deceived world, it answers the miracles of the two witnesses who minister during this period and are persecuted by the Antichrist and his false prophet from Revelation 11. To the deceived world, this also puts this false prophet in the class of Elijah in 1 Kings 18. We can imagine the false prophet as saying, "Let the true God answer with fire," then performing his deceptive wonder. Jesus told us that some who work miracles, even in his name, were false followers and would perish in hell from Matthew 7. And in the end times, false prophets would emerge and show great signs and wonders to deceive from Matthew 24. And Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 said the Antichrist will come with all power, signs, and lying wonders. It may seem strange to us to have the whole world give this kind of worship to the image of a man, but the personality cults of a totalitarian government in the 20th century are a good example of this kind of worship. All we have to do is remember totalitarian states like the Soviet Union or Communist China. They attempt to generate this today here, and their omnipresent pictures of Stalin and Mao, we see a pattern that will be ultimately fulfilled by the Antichrist. We now end this passage with the words that have been greatly misunderstood and many times interpreted in fantasy. And he calls us all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Under the government of the beast and his associate, all will be given a mark. Without the mark, no one will be able to participate in the economy. What will this mark be? Since the ancient Greek word for mark It means an engraved work or inscription. It isn't generally applied to people. And some have taken this as a symbolic mark, others a literal mark needed to buy or sell, and it's certainly conceivable and practical. We now have the technology to give people a mark that enables them to buy and sell in the electronic economy. There are many different ways it could happen, and such programs are proposed and tested constantly. So how about barcodes, digital currency, and a tracking chip that's inserted? Now, Satan is not a creative being. All he can do is imitate God. If we go to Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the people were commanded to wear a papillary, a small leather box with scripture inside. And we are not surprised to find that this too is a satanic parody of something God will do. It imitates God's mark upon his people. In Greek and Hebrew as well, letters were assigned a numerical value such as A equaling 1 and B equaling 2 and so forth. For example, graffiti in the ruins of Pompeii read, "I love her whose number is 545. Does this tell us who the beast is by figuring out the numerical value of a name and seeing if it adds up to 666? Using this method, many candidates for the Antichrist have been suggested, such as the Pope or the Papacy, John Knox, Martin Luther, Napoleon, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, and so forth. But the schemes for unlocking the number of the beast are as confusing as they are endless. Christians need not fear the number 666 in a superstitious way. But it is interesting to see the way the world has an attachment to this number, even with things like 666 brand cough syrup. The two pieces are satanic imitations. We are presented with a false Christ and a false John the Baptist who promotes the false God. Satan can't create, but he can effectively deceive with imitation. Instead of obsessing with fear and interest about the imitation, the Antichrist, how much more appropriate is it for Christians to be interested in the genuine Jesus Christ? Now, speaking of Jesus, Thursday is the day of Ascension. If you read the scripture on the cover of our bulletin from Acts 1, this is the day Jesus ascended to be with the Father, and we are to be awaiting his return in the same way that he left. He could not continue his ministry from earth, but has turned it over to the disciples to do their part, and also to us. Are we doing our part? Be sure to wish your mother a blessed day, and to all mothers, both living and past, that influenced our lives in this world. Amen. So we will close with our benediction. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus will come in the same way you saw him go. Go and make disciples of all nations, says the Lord, for I am with you always, to the end. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed the message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find a video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
First believed my change. has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my share and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are.
Forever.